Wow. Is that good worship or what? And we were singing that one song that says, the sound of heaven came down. You know, in the New Testament, when that happened, one of the times it happened was Jesus was being baptized. And they said, the voice of the Lord came down. Some people said it sounded like thunder. I thought it sounded something like that today. The Lord is excited, but he wants us to be excited too. You don't have to have an adrenaline rush any other way but through worship, right? And being with our God. Because he's here this morning. That sounds crazy in the world. I mean, go ahead, put that on the nightly news. Jesus showed up in Lake Katrine. And Hollywood. These people are really out there. So we are. So we are. Because what we're doing is reality. What they are doing, I have no clue. It's not the sound of heaven. You know, we had the opportunity, Cheryl and I do a lot of traveling with the family, and we had an opportunity once to go up into the Lake District in England, which is quite a ways up there, and beautiful country. In fact, they did some of the filming of Star Wars there. So it's really, really beautiful. And the time we were there, it was raining most of the time. But we went to this one stone circle, and there are like hundreds and hundreds of stone circles in England and in Scandinavia and about. And most of them, as they have concluded, had some burials there, but the stones themselves are lined with spring, summer, winter, fall. So they're lined with the stars. And this particular stone circle was some 7,000 years before Christ. If that could be believed, it was like, wow. That's really, really old. So before the Egyptians, before civilization, these people, probably almost 1,000 people in this community or more, were looking over the same mountains that I was looking over and putting up stones. And I can imagine them wondering, at least wondering, whether there was a God in heaven. I'm not talking about gods, plural, but God in heaven. That somehow blessed them with a community. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it certainly seemed to me at that point that things have not changed all that much in thousands of years. Because what they needed then is what we need now. Is that true? And I think they needed more than anything else the mercy of God, as we need the mercy of God. And I've been praying more and more for mercy, not judgment. That's up to God. And he says he is the God of judgment, but I'm praying for his mercy. And I've said this before and shared this with somebody. His friend was convicted of murder, and he said, I don't know how to pray for him, whether I should pray for mercy or should I pray for him for judgment. I said, I'm glad you're not my friend. I was like, I'm glad that you're not my friend, because I want my friends to be praying for mercy. For God, while we were sinners, yet his enemy, he loved us, scripture says. So we should ask for mercy. I think I would open up Congress with that every morning, wouldn't you? So, never mind who's Republican or Democrat. Let's just pray for mercy. And they actually have chaplains that open up every session with a prayer. How come we don't know what those prayers are? I would like to know. I know that at the chaplains group on the base, they actually do open with prayer and things. And they actually published the prayers that were being prayed by the White House prayer team. There actually is one, number one. There actually is one. That was encouraging to me. And secondly, the prayers that they were praying were really awesome prayers. So no matter what they do, the prayer team is on the right track. Same here. on Friday nights. That's what we're praying for. Same here. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And I'm looking at, I shared some of this Friday. Thank you, Paul, for doing the same thing. Revelation 3:14. Jesus starts to talk to the Laodicean church, which is lukewarm. Look how the Lord introduces himself. I love it. I like to just dwell on these words sometimes. These things says the Amen. Jesus is the Amen, the final Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So who are you? I'm the beginning of the creation of God, Jesus says. I'm the true witness. I'm the faithful. I'm the Amen. I know your works, that you are neither hot or cold. I could wish that you were hot or cold. That sounds like frustration there. Oh, I just wish. So then because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's like, ugh, give me something that's worthy of tasting. Because you say I am rich and I become wealthy and I have need of nothing, you don't know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. It doesn't come worse than that. If you find yourself in that condition, you would ask for mercy. And Jesus says to that church, and what I think he's saying to the church today, and I'm talking about the denominational churches and the Catholic Church, and those who are all about institutionalism, he says, I counsel you to do something different. I counsel you to buy me gold refined in the fire. That means we're going to have to go through trials and tribulations, things where we don't really want to go. Why is the Lord doing this to me? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. And that is how you're going to be rich, that you may be rich. They said they were rich, but they weren't. And white garments. So get new clothes. That's a good idea. That you may be clothed. That the shame of your nakedness would not be revealed. Because you don't know how naked you are. How shameful your behavior has become. And then lastly, he says that you have an anointing oil, a salve for your eyes. An eye salve that you may see. Because we don't see like we should see. We should see just like the sheep that's coming on back to the fold on Jesus' shoulders. We should see with his eyes. He wants to do something with us. This verse in verse 19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So he isn't doing this for judgment. He's doing this to bring them back. So that's why we pray for mercy. Therefore, be zealous. Let that adrenaline flow. Repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. We heard that already today. But from our side. But Jesus stands at the door and knocks too. Not just for people to be saved, but for people to be awakened from the sleep and slumber that they're in. And if anyone hears the voice from heaven, my voice, and opens the door. This is what he says. This is really good. This is not a religion. Something happens here. I will come to him and dine with him. What are you going to have for dinner tonight? Yeah, who's going to come into your house? Who's going to sit down with you? Who's here this morning? When you dine with somebody, you talk about things, maybe just things that come to your mind just at random. You can say, you know, I've been wondering for a long time, whatever it might be. And Jesus said, you know, that's an easy one. Let me answer it for you. So I will dine with him and he with me. So it's a partaking of both Jesus and ourselves, God and us. That's an exciting thing. A wonderful thing to sit down and have dinner with him. How often we miss the point of praying before we eat. Jesus is going to be with us too. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on the throne, on my throne. Wow, really? Wow. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. A place, throne, is not just a seat, but a place. Let's dine with him again. Let's go back to that place where our faith isn't just a list of things we believe. It becomes real. That adrenaline that's going, pumping into your veins is the fact that you realize and know that what you're doing is actual reality. And what everybody else is doing is fake. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's the end of that whole list of churches that he's addressing. Wow. Which means, really, how many churches were there that he was addressing? Was it seven? I forget. Yeah. So I think there are probably more churches out there now that we could probably address in some way, shape, or form. They've missed it. Which is why, you know, as the leadership of this congregation, of this family, of this group of Christians that we have gathered together this morning, we are devoted to a true and complete relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior, our friend, the one who wants to be with us through sickness, who wants to be with us through the adversities of life, who wants to be with us when we fall down and there's no one else to help pick us up. And so we begin to understand what it means to give of ourselves to one another, and the love between us grows. Come on. It does. When I first came to Fountain, I don't know if I love very many of you, but I sure love you now. Who's laughing, Johnny? All right, so let's go, let's make a switch to the Gospel of John, 15th chapter. Because the Lord talked about this in the prophecy this morning, or the vision that Eileen shared about that one stalk of corn. It doesn't take, you know, we look around in the natural, we don't see many things happening. But if you look around in the spiritual, there are many things happening. You just have the eyes to see the vision of what God is doing. That cross, Joni, that's growing, bigger than Hudson Valley. It's bigger than all of our doubts. It's bigger than, oh, this will never happen. It's bigger than that. A lot bigger. Jesus says, yes, and by the way, I'm the true vine. And my Father's the vine dresser. So we're part of the Lord Jesus in this. We're not doing this on our own. He's growing the church. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he encourages. No, he prunes it. Oh, that it might bear more fruit. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You give yourself away. It's pruned. So I thought that was such a good ministry. Where I was, it was 10 years ago, it was so much better than now. And the Lord said, oh, well, maybe you still thought that, but that's not what the vine dresser thought. When we had this room full, we thought that was going to be it. Wow, what God's doing. This whole process is to bear more fruit, not less. He says, "You, by the way, if you don't think you're worthy of this, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." And he has spoken to each one of you. You know, each one of you, I would judge, and I'm not that great a judge, but I would judge, you're able not only to share the gospel, but you're able to preach just like I'm preaching this morning. You say, I could never do it. Yes, you could. You could easily. Because the word that was spoken to you. And then he says, you're already clean. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. The abiding process means to live and to move in. Move in with Jesus. You can have supper with him every day. He never leaves you. When you're abiding with the Lord, there's that vine is a part of who you are. It says Jesus, you're going to be conformed to the image of Christ because he lives in you. It's a hard concept to understand in the world, but it's easy for us to know who have been filled with the Holy Spirit. We just have to let it happen. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself. And we hear this over and over and over. I know Brad likes that theme a lot. You know, we can't do this on our own. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So there is going to be no fruit. There's going to be no help to the world if you're in your own strength and in your own way of doing things. And it may be the way you did it last year even, but the Holy Spirit wants to change and break that sack. Get all that stuff out of there from last year's harvest. And so it's going to be ready for this year's. Oh, it's getting personal now. He reiterates his theme. Jesus says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. So he isn't like the trunk of a tree and you're the branches of a tree. Rather, the vine is made up of all the branches. You can't say, well, look at that. There's the vine and there's the branches. They're the same. Vine is made up of branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can't do anything. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire. That's the judgment of the Lord. And they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words, what? My words abide in you. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Every time I hear the faith teaching, they never really emphasize that part. I do. That your asking has to be in the process and as a precipitant, so to speak, of your abiding with the Lord Jesus. If that's not happening, you can ask all you want. It's not going to happen. Because your faith isn't in faith. Your faith is in God. Your faith is in the Lord Jesus. And when you dine with him, you're listening to him. You hear him. He comes to the table. He's wearing clothes that you're not familiar with. And you become familiar with him. That's Jesus. I know. And when you get to know people, you get to know them from afar off. So you come out of your car, you get out of your car, and you start walking towards me. Even though I might not recognize you, I understand who you are by the gait on your walk, your very walk. Each one of us is different, so uniquely different in many, many different ways. And we all have become in a place where we know him. Because the Holy Spirit goes over and over it with us so we get it. It's not so we be condemned. He says, that wasn't the Lord, was it? Oh, no, it wasn't. But this was. Yeah, that definitely was. In your prayer time, you should talk to the Lord about those things. I do. So what did I do wrong? What did I do right? What's going on here? It's always more important to know what God is doing than what the enemy is doing. We know his enemy actually is not doing anything new. But what God does is new every morning. By this my Father is glorified that you bear just enough fruit to get you by into heaven. No, that's right, Tim, no. Much fruit. That you will be called my disciples. Remember how and why you're going to be called disciples? Behold, they will know you by your love for one another. Maybe you don't have much love for the world, and for those who are still in the world, I should say, but you do have love for one another. Let's not put that aside. Make it a part of your prayer routine. Those who are sick, those who are struggling. Amen. It's going to be hard for you to pass somebody by that you've been praying for a long time. I remember once this person was really bothering me. And the Lord said, start praying for them. I said, okay. So I pray for them every day. Next Sunday, I see them, and I said, well, I got to go over and talk to them now because I've been praying for them. You're now committed because you have the love of God within your heart. Verse 9, as the Lord loved me, I also have loved you. Abide where? In my love. So important. We're not abiding in a ministry. Because, you know, in the 70s, a lot of people had ministries. But that's not where I want to abide. I want to abide in his love. If you keep my commandments, which one? You love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. You're, as I have loved you, you love them. You will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus is not asking you to do anything that he hasn't already done and demonstrated to us. Amen? How do I do that? Read the New Testament. Read what Jesus did. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. You know, the first sign that you're going down the wrong path is the joy of the Lord is gone. That should be the first litmus test of the Holy Spirit. Where's my joy? I don't get it. Oh, God just wants me to do it. I'll just dig in. Well, there's part of that, but the joy shouldn't leave you because your joy is in the Lord. And he says that your joy may be meager. No, it may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, not just as your neighbor, as yourself, but you love one another as I have loved you. He loved you enough to die for you on the cross. Your love for one another should be the same. I can honestly say that's probably not true in my life yet. I don't know if I would die for you, but there are some people that I said to the Lord, you know, I would really die for that person. Now, maybe you haven't picked anybody out. Maybe you shouldn't do that. I don't know. But it's like I did at one point. I said, I know I would die for that person. That's how much I had a relationship and the things that I would do. But we're going to learn that love for everyone that we meet, especially in the body of Christ. And he says this, greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. And he's referring to his life on the cross, or his death on the cross. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So that's the other thing, to expect the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do, a command. It's not like a question. Do you think you want to do this? He commands you to do some things. Maybe in your prayers at night, the Lord says, you know, really should talk to that person, or maybe you should reach out. Maybe you should give up this or take this up. Whatever I command you. It's important to know. So I'm just going with the flow. Remember that, Doctor? I'm just going with the flow, man. Wherever this church is going, I hope it's going in the right direction. Well, no, you need to understand and discern. He says this, no longer shall I call you servants or slaves, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. You know, in our culture, it's a culture of slavery in the Western world. Anytime you have people paying somebody for work, that's still a form of slavery because you're selling your work for money. So it may not be slavery where you work for nothing, well, except for room and board, I guess, but it is a type of not doing something freely without the reward of money. And he says, where am I? For a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. Oh. For all things that I have heard from my Father. Now, this is about the communion that he has with God, the Father. So the Trinity really becomes in focus here. Jesus went to the garden to find out what the Father, dining with the Father, so to speak, what the Father was doing all the time. And he says, everything that the Father told me, I have made known to you. Now, because they weren't filled with the Spirit, they didn't really remember it very well and didn't understand it most of the time. But after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, you believe, can believe that they did, because the Holy Spirit was then in them. And they remembered the things that Jesus said. Oh, I get it now. And he says, oh, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. Isn't that good? Sometimes we think we got here by choice. Our choice. Careful. No, not really. But I chose you and appointed you that you may go and bear fruit. He's not only chose us to do things, but that we would bear fruit. And that fruit should wither and die and not only be around for a while. No, that it should remain incorruptible. Is that right? It means incorruptible. I like that, Tim. Thank you for that. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you. If you're in that place, that's a good place to be. These things I command you, and especially that you love one another. So we're committed. We're believers. We're committed. We're here this morning, and the Spirit of the Lord comes down on our worship. We hear the sounds from heaven. Man, it was awesome. Why are you here? I come here because it's the worship, just great. Well, yeah, but we want to hear from the Lord too. Yeah, amen. But there's another process at work. The world. And not just the world that the enemy is encouraging, but the world almost innately hates what we are doing here. It's not because they somehow like got a revelation from the climate change people, or they got a revelation from whatever group, from European Union or from anything. It isn't that God a revelation. The world hates you regardless. There will always be the world out there. And Jesus says this about that. And this is not just Jesus' point of view. This is true. Remember he said, I am the truth, the faithful. Amen. Remember that? If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. I mean, Jesus came into this world and he was teaching a great change to the Jewish nation. They should have embraced him. They would say, are you kidding me? We don't have to worry about the Sabbath doctrine anymore. Are you kidding me? We can just come and, you know, and just be provided for, and we don't have to sacrifice living animals anymore. Are you kidding me? This is so awesome. Why wouldn't they accept that? Only God knows what's in the hearts of men. If you were in the world, and the world would love its own. Yet because you are not in this world, because I chose you out of this world, therefore, the world hates you. Everybody hates me? Yeah, well, don't expect much else. He's proclaiming it. Remember that the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So get ready for persecution. I often think about that in my dreams, even when I wake up in the morning. Why did I have to go through that kind of persecution? People accusing me of things that I absolutely did not do. And I would think, oh, because of this. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all of these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who has sent me. Once they know him, things are going to be changed. I remember people coming to me later, much years later, and saying, you were right all along. And I say, I wasn't right. Jesus is right. Amen. Thank you, Teresa, for that. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. So up until then, the 7,000 years of the stone circle, until the time Jesus came, you know, they're free of guilt and they're judged on whether they did good things or bad things. But now it's a whole different story. You either accept the Lord Jesus or you don't. If they had kept my word, they will keep yours also. But also these things that they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. He's always referring back to him, that is, God the Father. There's almost an innate nature in man to somehow know that there is a God in heaven. That's why they're without excuse. Isn't that what it says? In Romans, they're without excuse. Creation itself speaks of a creator. Scientific America made a statement the other day that said, the preponderance of evidence is that there was intelligence in the creation of things. The preponderance of evidence. I love that. Well, but this has happened that they might be, that the word might be fulfilled, which is written, they hate me without cause. That is a sad testimony of what's happening in today's world. They're hating us without cause. They're hating our religion without cause. You know, with someone that shared this at the chaplain's meeting the other day, he says, somebody came up to them and says, don't talk to me about the Bible. That's a white man's word. Whoa. Just gets worse. It just gets worse. But the scripture gets better because it gets written not in our brain, but in our on our heart. There's things that I don't have to memorize because they're part of my life. Yeah. Okay, so this is the last scripture. Verse 26. When the Helper comes, aren't you glad he calls him Helper? The Holy Spirit isn't there to instruct you only. Because when he instructs you, you better believe you're going to need help. When he tells you you're wrong, you're going to need help. When he tells you what your mission is and commands you, you're going to need help. Because in your own flesh, you will fail. I mean, COVID really is only a cold. And your flesh fails. Many people came down with COVID, and your body should have been well able to handle it because they said 18% of all colds that you've ever had were COVID-related colds. Well, what happened? Well, your body fails, but the Holy Spirit never fails. And he gives us wisdom in the face of disease. Amen? True. Yeah, I won't say something I was going to say from my own testimony, but some of you know. Whom I shall send, the Holy Spirit comes, the Helper, whom I shall send to you. Who sends it? Jesus does, from the Father. Where does he send it from? From the throne of grace and mercy. The Spirit of truth, not lies, not one lie, not one falsehood, no corruption there, who proceeds from the Father. Where does he come from? The Father. The Trinity is right here, people. It's clear as day and night. He, the Holy Spirit, does one thing more than anything else. He will testify of me, Jesus. And you also will bear witness. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit within you. Because you have been with me from the beginning. Isn't that good? I think that anybody that is pro-death doesn't understand that scripture. He knew us while we were in the womb of our mom, even before our mother really knew us very well. And she got to know me pretty well before I was even born. But even before then, Jesus knew me and brought me through the circumstances of my life. And we all have stories and circumstances that our life are so different and some pretty much the same. But Jesus was there the whole time in you to ordain you, to appoint you as Christians that testify not of a religion, but testify of a relationship where you dine with him on a daily basis, where you sit down and talk with Jesus. Do you talk with Jesus? Can you imagine that on the headlines? You know, this whole group believes that they talk to Jesus. Yeah, we do. Crazy people we are in the world's eyes, but not in reality. And the reality is that he is so real that he will never withdraw from us. He will never say, oh, that's it, it's not working. We'll start again. Another flood, please. No, it's not going to happen. Another flood won't happen. Every time you see a rainbow, it shouldn't remind you of gay unity. It should remind you of the promises of the Father. Hallelujah. See, the world has twisted everything. Is that right? I mean, the more I read, the more how twisted it becomes. And I said, why are they twisting everything around? Because they hate it. So we're standing on a place that's a holy place. So let's stand together. We're standing on a holy place, the place where God wants us to stand this morning, in amongst believers that love the Lord, in amongst believers who love to worship him, get excited about him. We're not excited about who's going to be the next president. We're excited the fact Jesus, we sing it so much. We use the word King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the one who is a savior of the world, our friend, who no longer calls us savior. He doesn't give us money for the work that we do. No longer calls us servants or slaves, but he calls us free men. So, Father, we ask you, O God, to renew our life. And everybody here knows the things that I've been preaching. They could preach it over without me even telling them. This is not new. But it's a reminder and an encouragement to us, oh God, as we worship you in the morning. It's a reminder and an encouragement that our God is so real, not just maybe real, but really real, that this is not a religion called Christianity. This is a relationship with you, Lord Jesus, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit really do exist in our life. And our life and our testimony is an example before the world of that testimony. Thank you, O God. Amen.